The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
The Transfiguration, one of the important parts of our story celebrated by Christians every year, this wonderful, beautiful event that Robert just relayed to us. Jesus takes three of his disciples, not the full core of 12, up the high mountain, it says. This is meant to tell us that he's taking them to a place apart, to a distance from the mundane, routine world, to a space considered sacred, a place where God can show up. And there, something and sacred certainly does unfold right before their eyes. First, Jesus, his robe begins to glow in the whitest white ever seen. And then two figures appear with him. One they somehow know is Elijah, the prophet, and the other they somehow know is Moses, the one who led them out of slavery to the promised land. And both of these icons of their story, their epic of God, are speaking with Jesus. There's a conversation in play. And then a voice breaks through. It's Peter. Whether he, James, and John can hear what Moses and Elijah are saying to Jesus or not, Peter interrupts the conversation with his own idea. Rabbi, we should build three tents, one for each of you. Hardly seems adequate, does it? Whether Peter is trying to raise the tents used in the Feast of the Tabernacles or replicating Moses' tent of meeting, we do not know. But what we do know is that Peter demonstrates a necessity to bring what he's seeing into a frame he understands. Ah, this must have to do with the Tent of Tabernacles, or this must have to do with the Tent of Meeting. He understands the celebration of God's bounty through the Feast of Tabernacles, and he knows well what took place in the Tent of Meeting with Moses and God. But this that he sees now, he does not comprehend. It doesn't relate to anything he has ever experienced. And the text tells us that Peter didn't know what to say. And he was speaking out of terror. He'd done that before when he'd rebuked Jesus for saying that Jesus was going to die. Poor Peter. He keeps trying to instruct his master, imposing his Peter ideas on Jesus' message and purpose. And he's not too far flung from us. I think most of us are thankful that Peter's in the gospel stories. He is such a wonderful icon and friend to us, isn't he? Jumping in, putting his foot in his mouth, reflex action, doing before he thinks. Oh, bless his heart. Well, when God tries to attempt or attempts to draw us into something that's a new sphere of understanding for us, do we not tend to revert and scamper for tried and true familiarity? Or we try to rationalize that what we're doing or have been doing, what we've been about, is just fine? This new revelation is interesting, but really, okay. Peter couldn't bear the idea of Jesus dying. That just did not make sense to him. How could Jesus usher in the kingdom of God, defeat Rome by dying? That doesn't make sense to anybody. And though Jesus sharply corrected him when Peter tried to rebuke him on that point. Jesus is now trying to help him see beyond the limited horizon that he's been living in, the social construct he's a part of, the theology he's been raised in. Jesus takes him up to a high mountain, away from all of that, and allows Peter to witness Jesus' transfiguration into a glowing otherness in the company of two men thought to have been spared death, if you know your Old Testament stories. Elijah, the great prophet, who was taken up into heaven in a chariot alive in heaven. And Moses, whose grave is unknown and thought to be alive in heaven. That's the belief of Peter, James, and John. And here they are with Jesus. Jesus is greater than those two who might speak of death. But without doubt, engaged in something that shouts life and glory. Yes, Jesus had spoken of death, suffering and death. And Peter thought, well, that's the end. What end is that? Why are we doing this? What's the point? And Jesus is trying to help Peter think, okay. Death isn't the end, is it? Something greater than Elijah, something greater than Moses is unfolding in my life? But Peter cannot yet understand. Fortunately, Peter's words are not the last words. His ideas, not the prevailing ideas. A cloud descends thick like on Mount Sinai. It overshadows the disciples, and a voice speaks from within it. This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him. Can you hear that, Peter? Can you hear that, Linda? Listen to Jesus. We do so much talking, not so much listening. We have trouble with silences. If we do too long of a silence in a worship service, people start to shift and they're ready to hear more stuff. We do it at home, busy. I'm trying to do my quiet time. Oh, but look at that dust bunny over there. I need to vacuum. Oh, yes, and there's this. I have to make that chatter, chatter, chatter. Jesus emphasizes listening when he instructs these three disciples not to speak of this experience. You can imagine how ready they are to tell the other disciples what they saw. And then they can all talk about what it really meant. Not having a clue what it really meant. When God gifts us with a special feeling, with an infusion of inspired knowing, or even a shocking correction, it can confuse us, sometimes scare us, and we can be tempted to explain it, to put it in our dimension. Compress it into something we understand or rationalize it away. That can't have been God. This is chatter. Chatter that tries to take control of what's been offered. Our better response is to accept it for the mystery it is, to hold it, reflect on it, let it grow in us. Because God offers these gifts to prepare us for something to come. Something God wants us to be prepared to meet. Whether it's something that's going to confront us in our life or something we need to address in our own behavior, attitudes, whatever. These God-inspired moments can help anchor us. When difficulties arise that refute everything we think God wants to accomplish. So when insights come to you, that you suspect have God's fingerprint on them? When you're blessed with an awakening or a feeling of being blessed, or when you're confronted by an insight about yourself that calls you to be better, accept these for the great gifts they are. Listen to them. Invite God's voice into them. Be quiet in your brain, in your busyness, and give Jesus the time and space to teach you, encourage you, guide you, refine you, prepare you for what it is God has in mind for you. Young man of Troop 100, you're in your own settings in life. And whether you attend church, synagogue, or mosque or not, God will show up in your life somewhere, somehow, sometime. And whether you want to be part of institutionalized church or religion or not, the call is to hear God's voice and let God lead you to where God wants you to go and develop your life as God wants to develop your life. That's a message to us all. And it's a message to this congregation as well, is it not? God is interrupting us in a lot of different ways. There's a light we cannot yet define, and there's a wave breaking in, a voice speaking through words of different individuals. May we have eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts ready to receive, so that we can be taken out of what we expect, what our ideas are, what our theology instructs us, and say, okay, God, you get to set the agenda and help me embrace the wider, more glorious way you have to open for all of us and for this world, that we will be transfigured.